Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello everyone out there in Blog Talk Radio land. This is your host and friend, the Sand Tiger, DJ Southeast Vince, coming at you from a place called Durham, North Carolina. And this is Black by Color Only on CNM Radio. On this show, I will discuss current events and issues that affect the black race and take on the apostles of blackness. Hopefully you'll get something from this show, and if you have a question or a comment, make sure you season it well with respect. I'll push the kick button and you'll suffer the curse of the fruit bat. So don't come here being a fruit bat, as this is a fruit bat free program. You are listening to Black by Color Only. Don't know what's going on with my sound there, but hello everybody and welcome to today's edition of Black by Color Only on CNM Radio. If you would like to be a guest to call in to the show, the call-in number is 646-478-5284. That's 646-478-5284. And be aware of the aforementioned fruit bat alert. If you come in here and you just want to disrupt the program with character assassinations, excessive profanity, gaslighting, ad hominem attacks, things like that, it will prompt me to push the kick button and you will go bye-bye. I don't care if you agree with me or disagree with me. Just show respect in your interactions on this program. So, folks, hope everybody is having themselves a good Saturday. It's been kind of a long week for me. It's been kind of a busy week as I work at a UNC medical center here in Durham, North Carolina. You know, it's been kind of busy for me this week, but made it through. And I am back here with you good people, hoping to have another great adventure on another show. So, but anyway, just want to announce that I haven't decided on a date for my podcast yet. I'm going to keep on mentioning that because I'm not going to give up on that podcast, you know. And for those of you all who are wondering what the podcast is going to be about, this program will be on it, but I'm not quitting Blog Talk Radio. As long as they'll have me, let me just say that. And when I start off the podcast, it's going to start off with my other program called Profit or Loss, where I talk about the false doctrines in today's churches. I'm not going to be per se talking about the cults around the world or anything like that, even though I might mention them from time to time. But I just want to talk about the false doctrines in a lot of our churches that we need to that we need to get rid of if the church is going to make an effect on this country. You know, because I really do believe that it starts at the church. You know, as I read before each of those profitable loss programs, judgment must begin at the house of the Lord, you know, and we need to judge ourselves before we can go out and judge anybody else. You know, make sure we have our lives right before we can go out and judge people in the world, because, you know, we got a lot of people out here who call themselves Christians, but they do very, very unchristian things. And I put an example up on my Facebook page about this pastor. I think he was in Kansas City, and he was berating his congregation because they didn't buy him an expensive watch. See, that's the type of riffraff we need to get out of the churches. And a lot of people look at this and they say, this is Christianity. That's not Christianity. That's something that's disguising itself as Christianity. But it definitely is not Christianity. Nowhere in the Bible does it tell you you're supposed to buy expensive gifts for your preacher or anything like that, you know. And I used to be part of a ministry here in Durham where I remember one Sunday, you know, I was, you know, sitting there listening to the message, and the pastor comes out. He says, y'all don't love me. He said, y'all don't love me. He said, because I saw the size of that offering y'all gave me for my pastoral anniversary. And I'm sitting there like, well, he doesn't sound too thankful. You know, first of all, we don't know how much we're, quote unquote, supposed to give you in the first place. And second of all, you do realize that when we get paid money, when we go to our jobs and get paid money, our obligations are to our families first. That's where our obligations lie, is with our families. Okay, and whatever we have left over, we can, you know, if we want to say, hey, pastor, we want to give you this and everything. But these guys get to the point where they tell their congregation, they guilt trip. It's a guilt trip. And they'll tell you, oh, you paid this amount of money for a phone bill. You paid this much for the internet. You paid this much in a car payment. You paid this much for a mortgage, but you can't give no money to the word of God, you know, to the man of God. And, you know, this preacher, he was saying, am I worth more than your McDonald's money? Am I worth more than your Red Lobster money? See, that's guilt tripping. That's none of your business what a person chooses to do with their money. But this preacher is in it for the money because he was expecting to get an expensive watch. And then he said, this is how I know y'all broke, busted, and disgusted. They use a lot of these words that you hear in so-called Christian churches, but they're not Christian. Because a careful perusal of the scriptures will show you none of this type of activity went on in the scriptures. But people keep looking at it and say, oh, those are Christian people. Those are Christians pushing this. Nah, that person, nah, that's not Christian. I don't. You all may not have heard the program I did about the other preacher. You know, he hawked a loogie into his hand, and he took it and he smeared it on his brother's face, which is one of the most disgusting things I think I ever seen in my life. And people look at that and say, those are Christians. No, that's not Christian. But people will say, oh, yeah, this is what the Christians are doing, the Christians. This is not Christian. Let me tell you that. And see, the word Christian has been used so loosely. It's been used so loosely over the years. We think just a simple person who does good things is a Christian. No, Christianity, a Christian is a person who follows Jesus Christ and his teachings and follows them according to the word of God. And a lot of this stuff that you see going on in churches today is extra biblical, which means it's not biblical. It's something that they added to the text. And they get up there with their
And let me tell you something, eeny, meeny, miny, moo, catch a tiger, bada too. You know, they do all that and everything, and people listen to them. They're like, oh, wow, this guy can really preach.
But they don't read the Bibles for them. They don't read their Bibles for themselves. I used to be caught up in a ministry like this. Don't get me wrong. That's why I feel like I can speak on it. But this is the type of stuff I'm going to talk about on the podcast, along with Black by Color Only. And see, my thing is, I am about the truth. That's all I'm about. I'm about the truth. I'm about, you know, putting forth the truth. There's no religiosity here, you know. I once heard someone say that religion is trying to follow God without the Bible. And a lot of times I see that to be true. See, Christianity is not a religion. And see, people are confused about Christianity because they see all these different sects and cults that call themselves Christian, and people are confused as to what a Christian really is. They see the Jehovah's Witnesses. They see the Mormons. They see the Roman Catholics. They see all these others, and they say these are Christian, but their doctrines are significantly different from one another. Apparently, they didn't read the scripture in 1 Corinthians, the first chapter in the 10th verse, where Paul admonishes the followers, saying, I would above all things, and I'm just paraphrasing, I would above all things that you all speak the same thing. The Roman Catholics and the Jehovah's Witnesses, they call themselves Christians, but they're not speaking the same thing. The Mormons and the Moonies, they're not speaking the same thing. Now, I'm not here to preach or anything today, but I think this needs to be heard because you got a lot of people who are making a mockery of Christians. This is not what Christians do. A lot of what you hear out there that's being pushed as Christianity is not Christianity. Paying 10% of your income is not Christianity. I don't care how eloquently your preacher talks about it, it's not Christianity. And for a preacher to get up there and guilt trip you over things that you're doing for your family or whatever, you might want to go out to eat. You might want to enjoy a meal with your family. But the preacher's guilt tripping you over that, saying, "Yeah, y'all want to go out to eat, but you ought to cancel going out to eat and save that money and give it to the house of the Lord." That's not Christian, people. Jesus never did anything by guilt tripping. And that's what a lot of these preachers do. They guilt trip you. And next thing you know, you're doing something you probably wouldn't have done of your own. I'm one of those people. In 2010, I decided to get out of that garbage because my eyes got open to the truth of God's word. And people use this to mock Christians, and they really don't know what a Christian really is. They really don't know. They think a Christian is them people to be in them churches that holler all the time, and then they start hollering for your money. That's not a Christian. You go to church to learn the word of God. You don't go there for someone to empty your pockets. This is author. He wrote a book, has a very clever title to it called The Sunday Morning Stick-Up. And this guy used to be a part of T.D. Jakes' church.
And T.D. Jakes got wind of what this brother was doing and had him and his family publicly kicked out of church on a Sunday morning in front of all the congregation. He couldn't come and give the guy a call and say, you know what, I don't want you coming to the church anymore. Had this guy publicly kicked out of church. And who is one of the people that a lot of us hold in high regard? T.D. Jakes. T.D. Jakes is not a Christian preacher, folks. He's a motivational speaker, just like Joel Osteen. They're motivational speakers. These are not Christian preachers. When you get a man up there talking about, you know, he's supposed to be a Christian preacher, he's supposed to know the word, but he says his feelings are evolving about same-sex marriage, then you know you're not dealing with a Christian preacher. Because the Bible talks about homosexuality and says it is a sin. But yet T.D. Jakes is evolving about homosexuality. And you got a lot of people out there calling themselves Christians. They're accepting homosexuality when the Bible clearly states that homosexuality is an abomination. And then they'll argue with you and say, well, we need to show love. You know, love. You got to love the home. Well, when you love somebody, hear, not what they want to hear, you tell them what they need to hear. Because let me tell you, and I've been doing this program for about 13 years now, a lot of people don't like to hear the truth. It cramps a lot of people's styles. They don't like to hear the truth. They only want to hear the truth if it goes along with what they believe. But love is not turning your head, turning around and saying, oh, nothing to see here. Love is telling somebody what they need to hear, not what they want to hear. And the homosexuals need to realize that their lifestyle is an abomination. It is a sin. They need to know this. Now, I'm not saying that you need to go and firebomb their clubs and beat them over the head, because that's wrong too. But you tell them in love, hey, I'm going to love you, but I am not going to accept your lifestyle, because that lifestyle is not of God. And you got a lot of people call themselves Christians that say you shouldn't be doing that because that's not showing love to the homosexuals. Like I said, when you show actual love to people, it's going to rub them the wrong way, because you're going to tell them what they don't want to hear. That's why I talk the way I do on this program here, Black by Color Only, telling the black folks, hey, you all need to get your acts together. You can call me Coon, you can call me Huckabuck and Mr. Step It, Fetch It, and all them other cute little names you got. But I'm telling you what you need to hear. But a lot of people don't want to hear it, because they want to hear what's smooth, what makes them feel good. You know, in the Bible it talks about the people were telling the prophets, preach to us smooth things. We want to hear something that eases our conscience. Don't tell us what we don't want to hear. Prophesy smooth things. But the truth isn't out there to make you feel good. That's not what the truth is about. That's why I talk like I do. Like I said, that's why I talk like I do on this program. When I talk to the black folks like this, your skin color is not going to matter to a hill of beans when you stand before God. And I say this, and I'm going to say it again. A lot of black folks are going to find themselves in an eternally warm climate because they care more about their skin color than they do the truth of God's word. for the about the past couple of months, I've been interacting with this group called the Black Hebrew Israelites, the IUIC. I call them the Purple Yellers because they like to wear these purple T-shirts with little gold fringes on them. And they go out there, they like to yell, you know, John 3:16. Like, dude, why you had to yell? I'm right here. You ain't got to yell. And they like to cherry pick scriptures and build doctrines around them. And they tell you that the Bible said that Jesus was black. I don't know where they get that from, because nowhere in the Bible does it say that Jesus is black. And they say, well, in the book of Revelation, it says his hair was like wool. I said, read that scripture again. It says his hair was white like wool, as white as snow. It didn't say his hair was like wool. And not only that, that scripture in the, I forget where that scripture is in the book of Revelation. I believe it's in the fourth chapter. It says his hair, it says his head and his hair were white like wool. They were describing the color of his hair. They weren't describing the texture. They were describing the color of his hair. And it says his head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow. And then they say, well, it says his feet look like they were burnished in a furnace. Have you seen bronze? Bronze looks kind of brown. Once again, what other body part does it describe that Jesus is at? As looking like it was burnished in a furnace. It only talks about his feet. And they say, well, his eyes were red like fire. That's because a lot of black people like to drink wine. I say, y'all got to be kidding me. I say, you all have absolutely got to be kidding me. I say, I don't drink wine. But I just don't like the taste of it. I haven't had an alcoholic drink since 1986. Back when the California coolers were popular. I'm telling my age. That's the last time I had an alcoholic drink because I just don't like the stuff. But they say, you know, because black people like to drink wine, that's why their eyes are red. That's why. I said, first of all, that what that's describing in the book of Revelation is Jesus's glorified body. It's not talking about his skin color and, you know, he's from Africa and all that crazy mess. And see, they're so caught up on Jesus's skin color, they totally miss Jesus's teachings. We're so caught up on Jesus' skin color, we overlook the teachings. We overlook love your enemies. Pray for them that use you and despitefully use you and persecute you. Walk in forgiveness with your brethren. Man, bump all that. Jesus was black. Who cares? So what? Maybe he was. Now, this is my opinion. And I could be wrong. When we stand before God, I don't think we're going to see a white man. I don't think we're going to see a black man. I don't know what kind of man we're going to see, but I don't think he's going to be either white or black or brown or whatever. And like I said, I could be wrong on that. But Jesus being a black man is irrelevant. It's irrelevant to the gospel. Jesus didn't go around talking about, yes, you, when I die, when I get hung on the cross and rise again and I'm ascended to heaven, don't you forget that I'm a black man. Jesus never said that. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And it's not talking about the Ten Commandments. It's talking about his commandments in general. Love your neighbor. Do good to those who despitefully use you and persecute you. That's what he taught. That's all that matters to me is his teachings. Folks, I did not mean to get off on this, you know, but being a born-again Christian, this is stuff that I speak on. And this is the type of stuff you're going to hear on Profit or Loss. And I'm going to have an edition of Black by Color only on that podcast too. But once again, just to let you all know, I'm not quitting Blog Talk Radio. As long as they'll have me, as long as I don't have any interruptions or anything, I'm going to be on Blog Talk Radio for a while. I do want to start my own radio program. I'm looking at some radio programs that I can start up with and everything, because I do want this word to get out. I'm not looking for numbers. And Blog Talk Radio, I've talked with people on Blog Talk Radio who are from New Zealand. I mean, all over the world. Had a guy on here, he was an Iranian. And he was telling me he was listening to the program. Man, I wish I knew where that guy was. He said they used to meet in a basement, and they had to disguise their Bibles as Qurans, because if they are ever caught with a Bible, they will be executed. What year was that when that guy came? Was it 2015? He and a group of them, he even said, you know, once when we see an American plane fly over, we want to blow them a kiss. He said, if we see an American or an Israeli plane flying over, we want to blow them a kiss, because, you know, our government is very oppressive. And, you know, I used to call him Mr. Tehran, because he came on for several several of my shows back about 10 years ago. I said, oh, my goodness. When he first came on, I thought he was a fruit bat. I thought he was somebody who was just going to come on and then, you know, and I was like, oh, my goodness, this guy is for real. And we want to sit here and talk about how bad the United States is. And you know why we can do that? You know why we can sit there and talk about how bad the United States is? Because we have freedoms that nobody else does. We can sit here and talk about our governments. We can sit here and talk about the president and our governors and our mayors and all the leadership. We can sit there and criticize them. Try doing that in another country like Iran or China or North Korea or some of these other nations around. See if you can get away with it then. And you want to sit here and talk about the country that you were born and raised in? That's giving you all these opportunities that people from overseas, they sneak over here, they take advantage of our opportunities, and next thing you know, in 2 years, they're millionaires, and we're still sitting here talking about how bad the United States is. We want to blame the white man and all that crazy mess, but you got black people coming from Nigeria come over here, and they're way more successful than American black people are. Oh, crazy mess, man. I'm telling you. My wife was even telling folks, say, I don't understand people who criticize this country. She said, in my country, we didn't have the freedoms. We don't have the freedoms that y'all have over here. But we sit here and we criticize, you know, and a lot of people we criticize them without a cause. We criticize them because we've been conditioned to criticize them because the news media tells us about them. We get all our information from the news media. I was telling a brother the other night, I said, bro, you need to stop listening to that news media. Well, don't stop listening to them, but you need to understand what they are all about. They're not about conveying the truth to you. That all they care about is conveying a news story to you. That's why a lot of us think Donald Trump is a racist. That's why a lot of us think that Donald Trump doesn't like Mexicans. That's why a lot of us think that the police treat white people different than they do black people. And no matter what type of receipts you show these people to show them otherwise, they still want to believe what they've been taught to believe. You can show them the evidence and they're like, oh, okay. And tomorrow they'll be saying the same thing. Just like my social studies teacher, Mr. Bittner, my seventh grade social studies teacher said back in 1980, he said, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make the jackass drink. He put his little spin on it. You can lead a person to the truth, but you can't make them believe it. Some people, they're going to believe what they want to believe because they are intellectually lazy. They've been believing like this for a long time, and by golly, I'm not going to stop believing like this because this inconvenient thing called the truth comes before my face. But anyway, let me go here to my Facebook page. Folks, we live in a world that I just don't recognize anymore. I just don't recognize the world anymore that we live in. You know, and I've seen the turmoil. I've seen the ups and the downs. But now we are living in cuckoo banana town. And let me see here. Dog, I can't pull my article up. Okay, there we go. All right. This was an article. Well, I heard the story earlier this week, and my wife, she came home, and she was talking about it, and I decided to pull it up. And this has to do with a 55-year-old dingbat in New York City. I can't even pronounce the name. Bui Van Phu. A 55-year-old black dude. He looks like he's black, or he might be Middle Eastern or something. He sucker punched an innocent bystander. Just walked up behind him, punched him in the back of the head. Caused a fracture of the skull and brain bleeding. Had to be sent to the hospital. And as far as I know, he's still in a coma. They say, now I get this article at nationalreview.com. And it says a man arrested on an attempted murder charge who also is a registered sex offender was dismissed from court in New York City on supervised release without bail Thursday after his charge was reduced to a misdemeanor. Comes up, punches a guy, innocent man didn't do anything to him, punches a guy, the guy collapsed like a deck of cards. Has to go to the hospital for a fractured skull, and he's in the hospital right now. And they reduced his charge to a misdemeanor while his victim is in jail. While his victim is in the hospital in a coma. Now, let me tell you something. Let me read you something about Mr. Phu. Phu had been incarcerated for 6 years with lifetime parole after he was convicted for attempted robbery in 1991, 31 years ago. And raping a 17-year-old girl at gunpoint in 1994, for which he was designated a level 3 sex offender. Fu was also charged with criminal possession of a weapon and robbery in New York City in the 1990s, the outlet reported. He has been out of prison since March 2019. Now, my wife pulled up this guy's, this guy had been arrested 14 times. 14 times over the past 3 years. Since 2017. But he has a story that goes all the way back to 1991. It says a video from the New York Police Department shows Fu leaving the Fuego Topico restaurant in the Bronx, putting on work gloves, and without apparent provocation, violently punching 52-year-old Jesus Cortez in the head from behind. The victim suffered a fractured skull, a broken cheekbone, and a brain bleed, and he is currently in a coma at the hospital. Cortez's family members were dismayed to hear of the vicious attack and expressed outrage that the perpetrator is now roaming free. You all, if you live in New York City and you're listening to this program, take a little bit of advice from me. Move out. That kind of person shouldn't be out on the street, the victim's sister, Veronica Cortez, 50, told the New York Daily News. I felt helplessness and anger and sadness because that person who did the damage does not know the damage he did to the whole family. Now, you see what these, and it's kind of like what I said last week about these lawmakers. They're not going to do anything until someone gets killed. Now, Mr. Fu better hope Cortez doesn't die because that's probably when they'll bring the hammer down on him. But since Cortez, he's alive, you know, he'll probably get out the coma. Nothing to see here. The incident comes as Mayor Eric Adams. Mayor Eric Adams, former police officer. And the city's progressive prosecutors, such as Democratic District Attorney Alvin Bragg, have come under intense criticism for their soft on crime policies, such as bail reform, which many residents say has fueled the rising wave of homicides, theft, and aggravated assault. Last month, Bragg originally chose to charge with murder and set a $500,000 cash bail for a New York City bodega worker who fatally stabbed an attacker in what he said was self-defense. Bragg later dropped the charges in response to public backlash. That bodega worker, someone came into his store and threatened him, and he fatally, and they wanted to charge him with murder because he was protecting himself and his store. Oh, yeah, they'll get you. They'll get you if you're an innocent victim and you're protecting yourself. But, oh, you're a criminal? Oh, yeah, go ahead, you know. We got roaches in our house. Let's not do anything about it. And I saw this. I said, now, see, this is what we've been talking about. I don't know why my chat page won't come up. I do not. If you all are communicating with me through the chat page, I'm sorry. I cannot get it up for some reason. And I deeply apologize for that. But this is the type of stuff that ticks me off. You got, it seems like they want to protect the criminals more than they want to protect the victims of the criminals. These criminals, they get arrested, they read them their rights, they tell people, oh, this person's got rights. You know what, to me, you... especially when those rights supersede the rights of the victims. This dude shouldn't be on the streets at all, based on what he did back in 1991. Now, you all know what I said I do to sexual predators. This man was charged with raping a, was a 17-year-old girl? 17-year-old girl at gunpoint. Right there, he shouldn't be out on the street. Matter of fact, I probably would have given him the death penalty. But here he is out on the street. Almost killed somebody, but they got him out on the street for a misdemeanor. This is sad, people. This is sad news. And if you live in New York City, yes, get out. Y'all remember that movie, Escape from New York, back in the 80s? That's what they need to do, because all New York really, basically New York is just one big prison. And you got dope-headed congressmen and mayors and governors that are turning New York City into a trash heap because of cases like this. Dude was incarcerated for 6 years for attempted robbery and raping a 17-year-old girl. 6 years. I say he didn't learn his lesson. And see, all this does is embolden people who see this. That's all it does. Emboldens them to do more dirty work. That's all it does. Let me show you another case in Los Angeles. This comes from the Daily Mail. Get this pulled up. Shocking moment, mob of looters ransack and destroy 7-Eleven store in Democrat-led L.A. They let you know it was Democrat-led, leaving store worker fearing for his life. More than 100 people descended on the convenience and then they went in and acted like a bunch of animals. They ransacked the store while shouting at each other, with surveillance footage capturing them throwing items across the counter. One member of staff feared for his life and put up no resistance to the looters, according to the police. It wasn't anything he could do. And the police weren't offering him protection. So what could he do? LAPD are appealing for anyone. LAPD. Okay. LA. LAPD are appealing for anyone, y'all. LAPD are appealing for anyone with information about the incident to come forward, claiming that those involved also been driving recklessly before the incident. A little too late for you to deal with that now, LAPD. Am I right? And if I'm correct, Los Angeles also has a law saying that you can't arrest anybody. And correct me if I'm wrong. You can't arrest anybody if they shoplift less than $1,000 of merchandise. But you show this to the apostles of blackness and they'll say, oh, they ain't hurting nobody. They got enough insurance to cover the costs. And what these stupid people don't understand is that when you shoplift or steal something from a store or cause damage in a store, they raise the price of merchandise to make up for the cost of the items that were lost,
which means higher prices for the rest of us who didn't shoplift. So whenever I hear people talk about, oh, they ain't hurting nobody, I'm going to go right upside their heads. A giant mob descended upon a 7-Eleven following a street takeover at an intersection earlier this week, throwing items over the counter and looting the convenience stores. Saw this girl. She was grabbing stuff. She was going over the counter. She was grabbing stuff. And you know what? Every last one of them were either black or brown skinned. I ain't seen no white people. If there were white people, they were far and few between, but I didn't see any. The gang of people ransacked the store while shouting, completely destroying the COVID-19 safety screen that had been set up to grab as much as they could in Los Angeles, California. A group entered a convenience store near Figueroa Street and El Segundo Boulevard with surveillance footage showing the looters shouting at each other on August the 15th. I don't think they're going to get arrested. That girl that was jumping over the counter, you can see her clearly. I don't think she's going to get arrested. Somebody knows who that is. But I don't think anyone's going to get arrested. They can be seen running across the store and grabbing drinks, cigarettes, lottery tickets, bags of chips, and other items. According to the Los Angeles Police Department, the suspects also started throwing items at them, with around 100 people involved in the chaos. One store employee was left fearing for his life after the incident, with a suspect wearing a Colorado Rockies hoodie throwing food at one employee. I think that's what they meant to say. It says hate. And they give you, at the bottom of this article, you can see the different videos, the different clips of the animals ransacking this store. And under this, they give you the statistics on crime in Los Angeles. They show you that homicide has gone down, but assault and robbery have gone up. Shooting victims have gone down. Rape has gone down. But altogether, total violent crime has gone up 5.5% in Los Angeles. Why? Because of defund the police. Police are not that interested in handling calls because a lot of times they'll interact with people of color. And if anything happens there, they could be accused of being racist. Whole bunch of factors figure into this. Whole bunch of factors figure into it. See, my chat page is up. I don't know why my chat page won't come up. I do not know why my chat page won't come up. But, well, show goes on. LAPD Detective Ryan Moreno said that there was no resistance and no fight put up by the staff members working that day. What could they do? What could they do? He added, "We really want to prevent this from becoming a new trend." Oh, really? Really? Those involved face charges of vandalism, grand theft, and looting when they are apprehended by authorities. I don't think they're going to do anything to them. Before the store incident, the crowd held a street takeover nearby and blocked traffic with their vehicles and performed donuts. I thought white folks only did donuts. There ain't no black folks did that too. I'm kidding, folks. I'm kidding. Another street takeover just an hour later and less than 2 miles down the road saw a teenage boy shot dead. The brazen incident comes after Proposition 47 was passed in California in 2014, meaning that some property theft was reduced from a felony
to a misdemeanor. So you steal a bag of potato chips and an Almond Joy and a Cheerwine? Eh. The law aimed at complying with a California Supreme Court order to reduce prison overcrowding. To reduce prison overcrowding, raise the threshold for felony theft from $950 from $400. This is why I don't think they're going to do anything, because, you know, they, you know, at one time they would get you for $400. But now, let's just raise it up to $950, just under $1,000. I don't care if the merchandise costs 95 cents. You steal it. You need to face a judge. Two or more people who conspire to cheat and defraud any person or any property by any means which are in themselves criminal can face only 1 year in a county prison, a fine of $10,000, or a combination of the two. Soft on crime progressive District Attorney George Gascon has been slammed for his policies, which other politicians claim weaken their laws. You know who George Gascon is? He's that jerk last week. That girl caused that car wreck. Now he wants to get tough on crime. Yeah, let's get tough on crime. She killed six people. That's the same guy. That's why I don't think anything's going to be done about this. LAPD data shows that as of March 2022, robberies had skyrocketed in Los Angeles by a staggering 17.2% from the same period of time in 2021. Fed-up California Assemblyman Rudy Salas, a Democrat, introduced a bill that would lower the amount a suspect can steal before facing a felony to $400, which was the original threshold before Proposition 47 passed. I think they need to lower it more than that. Salas said, enough is enough. We need to fight back against the criminals who are stealing from our communities. Well, you need to talk to your constituents, because Rudy Salas is a Democrat. You need to talk to your constituents. We have seen the unintended consequences of Prop 47's weakening of our theft laws, and I believe California voters are ready to make their voices heard on this issue again. Unintended consequences, I think they knew this could happen. The wild street takeovers have become more of an issue in recent months, with locals in L.A. begging police to do something about the problem. They're not going to do anything. Because you got a bonehead for an attorney general. One incident saw a man shot dead at the intersection of Hoover Street and West Century Boulevard on 4th of July. Another in South L.A. saw cars spinning out of control before injuring a bystander as they performed donuts and dangerous tricks with their cars. Residents are claiming that the events are happening once a week, if not more, making them scared to leave their homes. Now, if they haven't done anything about this by now, do you think they're going to do anything in the future? Motorists flooded the intersection and blocked traffic with their vehicles from all directions to create a pit in the middle of the intersection. This is how brazen these rascals are. Now, I was sitting there like, hey, y'all, wait a minute. The police might come here. The police might see us. Oh, no. Police ain't going to show up. But now, you know, people want to, yeah, the police need to do something about this. During the incident, spectators exited their vehicles and watched as motorists recklessly drove in a maneuver known as doing donuts. The maneuver involves purposely losing tire traction while driving in a circular motion and continuing to accelerate. This results in a series of skid marks left on the pavement. We got donut marks up the street from where I live because we got a bunch of motorcyclists come around here. They crazy. The spectators then formed a flash mob of looters and rushed a nearby 7-Eleven located at the northwest corner of Figueroa Street and El Segundo Boulevard. Yeah, doing them donuts, boy, makes one hungry. Video surveillance from the store showed the looters fanning out across the store and grabbing all the snacks, drinks, cigarettes, lotto tickets, and other merchandise. Looters also vandalized the store and threw merchandise at employees. The looters then exited the store to the surrounding parking lots and streets and quickly dispersed before police arrived. Why did it take so long for the police to arrive? The term flash mob was first used to describe a large public gathering at which people perform an unusual or seemingly random act and then disperse, typically organized by means of the internet or social media. In the latest cases, however, flash mobs have turned from fun, spontaneous events to opportunistic criminal occurrences. Officers obtained surveillance video of the looters to identify and to arrest the individuals involved. I don't think much is going to come of it, really. I really don't. But the apostles of blackness, they don't see anything wrong here. This is what they wanted. This is what the apostles of blackness wanted. They don't care if you're guilty of a crime or not. They just want you to get away with the crime. He's black. Just let him go. We got too many black people in prison. Probably wouldn't have too many in there if you got tough on crime. You probably wouldn't have that many in there if you were tough on crime. But your average black person or whatever, they don't see stories like this. That's why they always ask me, Vincent, where you get these stories from? Where you get these stories from? See, I don't get my news just from one source. I've been accused of, you get your news from Fox News. My opinion was formed long before Fox News came onto the scene. Fox News, I think, came on the scene in 1997. The frame of mind that I have right now, it was formed in the 80s. So you can't throw that Fox News garbage on me. And then in the 90s, when I really learned about the agenda of the news media through reading, that opened my eyes even further. But I'm a coon. Anyway, I see the callers out there. And to those of you all who wanted to come into the chat room and I don't see you or whatever, something's wrong with my chat room. It keeps saying a network change was detected. I don't have no network change. I don't know what they're talking about. But anyway, let me go ahead and do my advertisements. And when I am done, I will hit the phones. You're listening to Black My Color Only on CNM Radio.
Nurse, set up an IV. And you, her boyfriend. You were the driver?
Yes, doctor, but I didn't mean to hurt her. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Just buzzed? Oh, then your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie. I feel great.
She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
Peek-a-boo. Peek-a-boo. Smile.
Smile, buddy.
Come on. Smile. Oh, honey. He's still not smiling.
Maybe he's not a smiler.
Yeah. Maybe he's just not a happy baby.
Maybe he's just being a boy. You know how boys are.
Or maybe he's teething. Oh, poor baby. I think his gums hurt.
Maybe he's just tired.
Or maybe his tummy hurts. He didn't eat that much.
Maybe he's not ticklish.
You think maybe he's scared of a dog?
Maybe he'll outgrow it. Maybe it's a phase. Maybe he just doesn't like smiling.
Maybe he has autism. and we can definitely do something to help.
Maybe is all you need to find out more about autism. No Big Joyful Smiles by 6 months is one early sign. Learn the others at autismspeaks.org/signs or see a doctor today for an autism screening. The sooner it's diagnosed, the better. And it can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
If you love America, you're among friends here.
Welcome back. If you would like to call in as a guest, the call-in number is 646-478-5284. That's 646-478-5284. And it's about that time for the fruit bats to be released. That is the fruit bat alert. That means I'm about to go to the phones. Now, if you're on the phone and you want to come here, you want to cause trouble, ad hominem attacks, character assassinations, random insults, excessive profanity, straw man arguments, gaslighting, all that type of stuff. You think you want to engage in those type of activities? I will tell you right now, you'd better hang up or I will be glad to oblige you. Okay? Like I said before, I don't care if you agree with me or not. Just be respectful in your comments. Having said all that, let me go to the phones.
Hey, Vincent. What's going on, man? Fruit bat number one.
What's cracking, man? Hey, I love them articles you've been sharing on my in my email, man.
Oh, yeah. I know where to get them, don't
I? Hey,
look here. I was coming out of the store, and I was confronted by a guy. He said, I'm fruit bat number one. He pulled a knife and said, I'm going to cut you. You keep giving me troubles. So I ran. I don't know if it was Irondale or who it was, but I got out of there.
So the fruit bat's a pack of feet, man.
Yeah, he pulled out a knife. Said, I'm going to cut you. How about that one article I sent you? About the Normandy interim mayor, Maurice Hunt, who said he would fire all the white workers. Since the town is now black. Ain't that about a bunch of bullcrap?
I'm trying to pull
you
it
see,
up right
I know
now.
These areas, I know these that. Areas very, very well. Normandy's was a very solid, functional community. It's right there across from a school that I built, Lucas and Hunt Crossing. And also there in University of Missouri, St. Louis on Natural Bridge. But it's starting to change because people are starting to move from the east coming west from the city. And you can imagine what's happening to these once well-established communities. And I've watched this happen. You know, City Limits St. Louis is there at Goodfellow and Natural Bridge. You come on across, you're coming into Pine Line. Pine Line is gone. Matter of fact, this last mayor, Sylvester Caldwell, had his name on all the police cars, got indicted for shaking down Mideastern businesses.
Oh, my goodness.
And he'd go into these businesses and take them down. And his cold words, I want my Mountain Dew in a cup. That was his cold word. Yeah.
Wow.
Then you had Mary Washington in Wellston. He got caught up where this woman wanted to have a business license. And she met him in a meeting between her and him at Talena's there on Skinker and Forest Park Expressway. The restaurant still there today. And she was wired and heard him trying to shake her down for about $15. You know, it's always $1,500. Even in the city of St. Louis, just recently, you had three automatic board members. One, the president of the board of aldermen, Lewis Reed, who ran for mayor, by the way, even once or several times. You had another person who was a Black Lives Matter protege, Robert Muhammad. And then you had another one that had been there in the ward there on the edge of the city, Jeffrey Boyd. So these Mideastern business companies, they've been going to them, basically, I guess you can say, shaking them down. Because I understand two of them receive used automobiles. There's a company, there's a Mideastern company down there off of 12th Street in Cass called Salamas. And they tried to shake a friend of mine down who owns a plaza there not too far from their project. Not too, right down from St. Patrick's Church. See, I know these papers. People can Google them. You can find them. They there. And these idiots, man, these folks are plain damn idiots. And they black.
Yeah, yeah.
They black. And I'm surprised at Willis Reed, Lewis Reed. I really am. He's married to a white woman, by the way. I'm surprised at him getting involved in that mess. He had the same thing with Bosley Sr., people that wanted liquor license, he'd go to somebody to go to them and have the meeting. That's where the demands would be made, rather than him going himself. You had another one, Rodney Hubbard. No, not Rodney Hubbard. It was T.D. Alameen, whose wife is Yafet Alameen. Yafet's a pretty strong woman. I helped support her. Well, hell, TD, I think, got shook down for, he's trying to shake somebody down for $1,500. I don't know what's up with this $1,500.
Yeah, for real.
And even the car, that used cost was worth around $1,600. At least they go in the right direction.
I mean, for real.
Yeah, so a shakedown. Then you want to look at it on a federal level. You got Liz Cheney, started in 2017, worth about $1 million to $4 million. Right now, she's worth $40 million in 5 years. Huh? Yeah.
But how did that happen?
When you look at these black representatives at the congressional level, James Clyburn, you got Maxine Waters, you got Bobby Rush, and you got another one there in Chicago. I can't think of his name. Hey, when they list their worth, it's about $100,000 to $1 million. And they've been there forever.
Yeah.
What the heck's going on? Do they not know how to steal? Everybody else stealing.
I mean, for real. Can't beat them, join them, huh?
Yeah. Cori Bush in St. Louis. You know, you look at her worth, and I don't know how her worth got to be so great. She just got elected here maybe one term ago. She worked as a nurse over at Barnes Jewish Complex, to my understanding. But also, she's a pastor at a church over in St. Louis.
She got to be able to afford those $7,000 security guards, man. You got to understand that, man. Come on now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And the church, I think it's the church where they was allowing an illegal to seek refuge in her church. Because I used to hear on the news about that story, about illegal seeking refuge. And while they seeking refuge, they still having babies. Holy yep. cow. So Danny Davis is the other one in Chicago. And of course, they all the same way, you know. Lori Lightfoot is trying to prevent the Chicago Bears from leaving Soldiers Field, a lone historical place for football in Chicago. They're yeah. off South Shore. They said, we got to go. We're leaving.
And for them so to say that, up, that's saying a lot for them to yeah. leave Soldier Field. That's saying a
and
lot.
And she comes up with an idea to put a dome on the stadium, $1 billion. And try to keep them to stay. But if she's going to put a dome on the stadium, it's not because of bad weather, because Soldier Field is known for having games in bad weather. You know what it is?
Yeah.
Bullets.
Yep.
Bullets falling out the sky.
Mm-hmm.
For them ignoramus that's shooting. So you're going to put a stadium cover over the stadium to keep people from getting hit in the head, I guess, with flying bullets.
Yeah.
I can't think of another reading, can you?
No, I can't either, you know, because like you just said, that was the first thought that came to my head. I said, they can't be doing it for weather's sake because they've been playing in bad weather for decades.
Oh,
just like the Green
yeah.
Bay Packers, you know, mm-hmm. just like the Green Bay Packers, you know, they play in bad weather, you know, and that
but,
can't be the reason why I should put a dome on there.
Yeah, but wait a minute. It don't stop there. You know, and you can only... You ain't making this stuff up. The stories are there. I didn't create these stories.
Yeah. Yeah.
In Minneapolis, the famous city for known for I Can't Breathe, George Floyd. And his street there on Chicago, and I can't think of the other name of the street, where the police don't go down there. If you got a call, they tell them you're going to have to meet the police about 3 or 5 blocks down. They're not
yeah.
coming down there.
Oh, my goodness.
You hear that story, too?
Man, that's...
and yeah,
here's the thing. I know people are not making this stuff up. They're not making it up.
yeah. One black woman had a domestic problem. She called the police. The dispatcher said, well, ma'am, my police ain't coming up there. It's Chicago, and I can't think of the other intersection with George Floyd. They got a memorial for him. where the wall fell down from lightning. I guess God was trying
yeah,
to tell
yeah.
you something.
Yeah.
so you got to walk down 5 blocks in order to meet the police. They ain't coming up there. But it still gets good in Minneapolis.
Oh, it gets better?
Well, you got, yeah. You got the school board in Minneapolis Public Schools come up with a policy that they going to
yeah.
fire white teachers first
yep.
in the
yep.
public school.
Yeah, I saw that
they
one.
They're
going to
fire
I
the white teachers
one.
First. You see that?
Yep, I seen that one. Oh, yeah.
Well, what the heck's going on? If you look at Normandy and you look at Minneapolis, and they ain't the only two, it look like somebody's trying to create segregation environments.
No, no. You got it wrong because see, these are white people. See, they're the oppressors, and see, it's not racist to fire them. It's only racist to fire black people.
Ah, is that what it is? Okay. Well, anyway,
yeah.
I don't understand whites going along with that stuff because even in Norman, you had an employee file a federal lawsuit. And I think he's going to win it. But it just goes on and on. It's just like Judge Roy Moore. He's white judge there in Alabama. And you see what the left tried
yeah,
to do
Roy
to him.
Moore. Yeah, and
yeah.
He's going to be awarded $8.2 million.
He's going to be awarded $8 million because he won his case. They talking about that the man was sexually abusing girls damn near 40 years ago.
Yeah.
That's the type of game these leftists play. And I keep telling you, you got to play their game tit for tat. If not, they'll run all over you. Just like in the Target stores. Target.
Oh, yeah.
They had that one popular book at Target. And I forget the author of the book. It's a black woman. It has, in the opening chapter of the book, it has a prayer where it's asking God to help the readers learn how to hate white people. Did you hear
Shaniqua
that?
Shaniqua Walker Barnes. Yeah. Shaniqua
yeah.
Walker Barnes.
A prayer to God to help me to learn how to hate white people.
Yeah.
Holy
and it says,
cow.
Please help me.
And that ain't all. It still gets a little bit better.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
In Target, they got a section, apparently, that's for black-owned or founded brands.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Oh, my goodness. I don't know what to tell you. You know, Target was one of the first publicly served locations that had that allowed men to go in the female bathroom until they had some certain
yep,
a couple
did.
Of cases there. They had one in St. Louis there on Lucas and Hunt and West Lawson. And a man went in the bathroom and was messing with a little girl.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the things that's going on that we care to mention. No way you can keep up with all this stuff. You'd have paper piles from the floor to the ceiling.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. It's woke.
Yeah.
This woke environment, this woke culture that's out there
yeah.
today. I tell you,
let
I don't know
read,
what to say.
Let me read the response, because I put that book from Target that has a prayer to help reader hate white people. Someone put a response up on my Facebook page, and they said, I clicked on the article thinking they would show Dr. Walker Barnes' entire prayer, but of course they didn't. Being that this is a Trump support website and Dr. Walker Barnes specifically mentioned her dislikes about Trump and his supporters. Basically, what they're saying is that this person, you know, saw this article and they decided to put it up because they're Trump supporters and they hate black people, basically. And it says, but I went off track after the or at least to her hate was targeted to racist white people, not all whites. Lord, help me to hate racist white people. But that's not what they're saying in society today. They call white people colonizers. They say they're responsible. They make no distinction between racist white people and white people in general. See, that's the problem.
And you know what's worse yet? They don't make mention about the racist black people.
Make no mention at all.
Because if I'm not mistaken, racism is an act. It has no respect for skin color, because the same thing that you do to a white person does to a black individual, and it's called racism. You can change, flip the people around, and you got a black person doing to a white person, and it's not called racism. It's just, oh, he's just a bad person.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, he's just
you
biased.
You see the logic in this mess, man.
Yeah.
It is
biased,
totally crazy.
Yeah.
It is totally, totally crazy.
I said, you got to be kidding.
And also, you talk about this cancel culture, a renaming of streets, schools, and guess what they're doing now? They're coming hard on these Christians because they say
yeah.
the rosary is a sign of white supremacy.
Oh, wow.
Well, damn. What about the Muslims pray beads? Hmm?
Yeah. Wow. You know.
What about the Muslims? Then you got Joe Biden, his new Title IX rules, where he's going to deputize teachers to override parents on their children's gender identity.
Oh, I ain't heard that one.
Oh, hell yeah. Yes, indeed. You know, Joe Biden, I like the old Joe Biden better myself, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
I like this
even though he
playing
was,
out.
Even though he was a dingbat too, but I like him better.
I like the old Joe Biden. I don't like this one here that's got support on either side, that they don't know what the hell they're doing in the positions they had. You can tell when they have had something to do with something. I mean, just look at it. You can tell that they have. Then you got these groups that's out there that's saying that blacks need to own their own rhetoric. And you just got through mentioning an incident out there in California with these flash mobs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, what? And they go on in the cities too. What black store owner is going to be surviving when you have these mobs come running in your store, snatching and grabbing every damn thing?
Exactly.
Which they have done in some cases.
They don't care what your race is either.
No, they want that stuff.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, folks, let's use a little common sense here. You know, let them have their own. But when they want to loot something, they're gonna loot from their fellow black neighbors.
People don't think about that. You damn right. They're gonna tear them up, and that's the way it is. And see, when you have these things about we need to have our own, where you want to have a grocery store on every, that ain't gonna be the common people that's gonna benefit from that. It's just gonna be a switch of the face of wealth, just like Aunt Jemima pancakes. Mm-hmm. Now, since they took Aunt Jemima off the pancake mix, which, you know, the members of the family were getting royalties. Guess who's on there now that I've seen? Master P. Oh, isn't that a cool name? He got his pancake mix brand.
Whoa, wait a minute. Hold up. Wait a minute. You're telling me they replace the lovely Aunt Jemima with Master P? Are you serious?
Yeah, you got Master P brand. I bought 3 boxes of Cousin T's. You remember him, Terrence?
Yeah.
Terrence Williams?
Yeah.
I bought his.
It's
like I bought Joe Brown, JB, beat Joe Brown barbecue sauce. That's some good stuff, man. You can sip on it as you watch
Joe
TV.
Joe Brown got barbecue sauce?
Yes, he has. Check it out.
Ooh,
I hit the link.
Judge Joe Brown barbecue sauce. Oh, man, I like the way that rolls off the tongue.
So there's never a shortage of stuff to talk about with these leftists and these Democrats. Let me tell you something. That these Republicans, they just as lousy, too, some of them. Like that McConnell, he's a lousy son of a gun. He looks funny. They do not know how to govern. These conservatives don't know how to govern. Mm-hmm. They just get it and just sit on it. They get it and they sit on it.
That's why they got rid of Liz Cheney.
Hell, look, they didn't need somebody like a Donald Trump who's pro-American. I mean, that's why I voted for him. He's pro-American.
Yeah, exactly.
He makes sense. It makes good sense.
And you ain't got to like the
pro-American with imports. It's about the interest, permanent interest, not permanent friends. But where's my friend? Where's proof back number two at? Sarge, he ain't around.
Well, yeah, Sarge ain't here, but I think I got proof back number two right here. See if he. Hello, proof back number two. Welcome to the show.
You know what? I just thought I'd let you know that in the next 30 days there'll be some Vincent E. Brown barbecue sauce and Biani barbecue sauce. And, you know, I heard a little smart comment you made to me earlier. The next time that goes down, it's going to be the real me, and you don't want to deal with me face to face. Hold on. Respect your elders, because I know I'm older than you, okay?
Okay,
the
sir.
The next time you do that, it's going to be the real me, and you don't want to do with the real me, sir. And Vincent, you let him get away with it. I thought you was my buddy. I'm going to have to kick both of y'all jokers to the curb. I ain't coming to see you no more. And this other guy here that started the mess, he down in Louisiana. Well, I'm just letting you know, I got a radar for cops on the road. I got a radar for both of y'all, too. So y'all in deep trouble. And I ain't no fruit bat. Y'all the fruit bat. Have a nice day. I have to hang up on both of y'all turkey.
Oh, wait a minute. Don't go. I recognize the voice, Vincent. That's him. That's him. I'm gonna cut you. Let me hear you say I'm going to cut you. Sir, say I'm going to cut you.
No, I'm going to shoot you. Cutting too good for you. And then after I shoot you, I'm going to cut you real short.
I'm going to cut you. That's the voice, Vincent.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, you got to be careful of him. He's from Boston.
Oh, my goodness.
You know what? That's all right. Every time, Vincent, when you get with one of your buddies, whether it's Chase or this knucklehead right here, you always try to double team me and get on their side and come against. That's all right, Vincent. That's all right. I got the perfect solution for you. I haven't told you all my plans, but y'all, let me put it like this. Y'all are in serious trouble. Okay.
All in good fun.
If I cause any problem, I'm sorry.
Yeah, you don't want to get
killed. You know what, sir? Now, you didn't cause no problem, but your mouth caused a whirlwind called the iridelitis is kicking in on this show that we all on right now.
All right.
You sound a little worried now, sir. You didn't calm down?
No, I'm worried. Let me get up here and lock this door.
Sir, can I tell you something real personal, sir?
Yes, you
better
you can.
Get in a rocket ship. You better get in a rocket ship and go about 20 million light years away, because locking that door is not going to do nothing for me.
Well, Vincent, I told you when you was off the air there for a while, I noticed them fruit bats flying around in circles, and a couple of them looked like they had some jet propulsion on their wings.
I know that's right.
Yeah. I'm actually talking to the jet propulsion twins, you two knuckleheads.
I tell you, man. So
how y'all doing this evening?
Hey, doing bonza, man. Oh, gosh, and now it sounds like an Australian. Having a bonza die.
No, I prefer to hear the French, man. I haven't heard him in a while.
Yeah, the French man. The French man, he's been on vacation. So he come back on the show. He's a guest speaker.
Yeah. I see. I was looking on these flooding in St. Louis in the areas, like, for instance, Florissant, areas like U City, and other areas around Baden and that. One particular thing these areas got in common, they're populated by black folks.
Yep.
And you know you hate to see people suffer.
Yeah.
But you know, when you go back a year or two and all that damn rioting and looting was going on, karma is something else, man, I tell you.
Yeah. I hate to say it, but yeah, you know.
And see, they lost a lot of stuff, including clothes, furniture. Clothes, including shoes. And man, some of the shoes that was looted. I don't know. I'm just saying.
I mean, really?
Because you got to run out the house barefooted and get on that boat that's there to help you. And guess who's operating these rescues a lot of? They white.
They white folks.
They white folks. You know, see, I tell it like it is. I see it like it is. They human beings just happen to have white skin that's coming in rescuing these elderly blacks, helping them get out of harm's way. Where's all the people that were hollering this, that, the other, and kill Whitey and all that stuff? Where are they at?
Yep.
They're getting rescued.
Mm-hmm.
Ah, man.
Yeah. It boggles the mind, you know. It's like, how ironic, you know. One day you're like, Whitey must die, you know, and down with the police. And then when something happens, where are the police at? Where are they at? And it's like, well, you know, save yourself then. You know, if you think we're the racist bigots that you say that we are, then rescue yourself. You know, but I think it's the white folk trying to rescue the black folks to make them work on plantations. I think it's another form of slavery, because I think the white folks are sending the floods into these black areas to move the black people out so that they can work in their fields and pick cotton like they did back in the times of slavery. What do you think?
And I tell you, I don't know what to think no more, but you can go to YouTube, go to YouTube right now and pull up hundreds in Ferguson devastated by flooding. City seeks millions in relief. And the mayor there, I think his name is Bush too. I'm not sure. I'm looking at that. I recognize all this. See. And these black
so
areas.
So the flooding's in
flood.
Ferguson, too.
Yes.
So
look it up. Hundreds in Ferguson devastated by flooding. These are the same people. I'm going to take that back. Because actually during the riot, the people that lived in the community now ain't going to be tearing up stores that they got to depend on. It was people coming from the outside. But here's the point. If people can drive hundreds of miles and even get bussed in by certain conspirators that wanted to destroy Trump and also the Democratic Party, because it wasn't Trump in office at the time, but wanted to destroy America. Well, where are they at now? These people need help.
Yep.
They
drive hundreds
help.
Of miles to protest, but you can't drive hundreds of miles to help.
No. Help these people clean up. Yeah.
That's right.
I mean, it's sad. It's not just black, but the majority of them are black. You got whites here, and the guys have suffered damage also. Because, see, Ferguson has a creek that runs through it. As you, right there at that quick trip, there's a creek. And, you know, those creeks are designed to relieve the area thoroughfares from flooded water that would accumulate on the streets. But when you have rushing water the way we had after you had 9 inches of rain, well, those creeks are not going to be able to contain the flow of water.
Yeah.
So guess what happened? Then your sewers are backed up. People throw everything in the damn sewers, including bodies. And if it's a body with a big head, it's going to be more likely to stop up the damn sewer.
Yep. Mm. Wow. I didn't know Ferguson, because Ferguson was ground zero for those protests back in 2014 where they burning, looting and everything, and now you got a flood coming over there that's messing up everything. It's like, wow, where have we seen this before? You know, oh, my goodness.
My daughter's staying not too far. I'm getting her out of that community, though. But she's, I'm getting her out of that community. She don't stay in Ferguson. She stay north of there, northwest of there. But things spread. Then taxes go up. See, they don't tax. You can't tax people that claim they ain't got nothing. You got to go tax those who got something.
Yeah. Yep.
And if you don't fight back, so that's life. Karma is a bitch.
Well,
let me ask you something.
Mm-hmm. Let me ask you something. You mentioned earlier somebody was married to a white person. And this is just a question that's been on my mind for about a couple of years now. And I see a lot of mixed couples
that are still caught up in this black and white thing. Like you'll have a black woman married to a white man, but she still wants to talk about Black Lives Matter and what white people are doing. Can anyone explain to me why she's married to a white person, but she's still talking about how evil white people are?
I don't know. Maybe when she's in that type of close arrangement, everything becomes blind. I don't know.
Because I watch this video, this channel on YouTube called the McClure Twins. And you've heard of the McClure Twins?
No, I haven't heard of them unless they went by another name.
Oh, okay. Because this channel was started by this lady. She's Nigerian, gorgeous lady. Let me tell you this: she's gorgeous, and she's married to a white guy. And they got three adorable children. Two of them are twins. That's where they got the McClure Twins from. Two adorable twin girls and an adorable little a son. And it came up that the husband, who is white, he used to be a comedian, and he was talking about black people. And it got to her, and he was up there on YouTube apologizing for what he said about black people back in the day. But, lady, this dude is married to a black woman, you know, and...
Well, see, there's a difference there, because Africans don't refer to themselves as black. They refer to themselves like your wife. Your wife is of a particular language group, possibly, and also a tribe. African, the only place that you try to refer to people as being the same because of their skin color, you only see that in America, and now you're starting to see it a little bit over in places like England, especially in Leeds. But and that's a detriment here because all blacks don't consider themselves African-Americans and vice versa.
Yeah.
I mean, they just don't. And when you try to impose that on people, they're going to resist.
Yeah.
And they're going to resist. And they may do it, and, you know, with blacks, they do it quietly. You know, you got
That's
your store
true.
Here. Ain't nobody coming in your store. Hell, I got a store in the black community. Nobody coming into it. Well, they probably got a particular reason.
Yeah.
And like I said before, them stores only benefit a few people. It don't benefit everybody.
No,
just like in Target, they got sections there where they got black owned and brand merchandise of a small degree. So what you're trying to do is channel blacks that come into the door to come back over here and buy these things, forcing them to buy something that they probably wouldn't otherwise buy for a lot of reasons, of which we can't name them all.
Yeah. And I've seen those areas in Target, and every time I see those areas in Target, I never see anyone shopping in those areas. I never, not one time. No, you don't see people like, ooh, look. Every time I look in those areas, I'm like, well, where are the black folk at? This is supposed to support the black folks. You know, this is supposed to uplift the black folks, but you don't see black folks shopping there.
That's something that somebody that works for Target, apparently in some position, threw it out on the table during the period of rioting and all this stuff and heightened awareness.
Yeah.
But no, you got these flooded areas, flooding in Ferguson, Missouri. You got flooding in University City. And a couple of people that they've interviewed, I know, I've seen this, Beverly Thompson. I know her. She showed up at a lot of those, you know, black is powerful and all that. Events, but you know she's suffering from this calamity. University City is black rent, but it's flooded all the time there in that area.
Mm. Wow, yeah, that's just something I've been wanting to ask because I see these people who are mixed, and you would think they're mixed couples, and you would think they wouldn't be, you know, riding the Black Lives Matter and, you know, the hatred for white people and everything like this. And I forgot who that guy was who did that speech at the BET Awards several years ago. You know, mm-hmm. I forgot his name. And now this is how I would have handled it if I was his father. Okay, because this guy was mixed. He had a white mother and a black father. And he gets up there talking about the evils of the white people and everything and stuff like that. This is how I would have handled it. I would have gone right upside his head and said, why are you sitting here talking bad about white people? Your mama is white. You over here talking bad about white people, talking about how evil they are and everything. You think your mama is evil? Well, dad, I don't mean mom. No, you said white people. I would have gone upside his head. I don't understand how they get away with this. They're mixed couples, and they still caught up in this black.
And some of these white folks as dumb as a box of rocks, and vice versa.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, though. That is true.
That's the way it is. But like I said before, Africans don't look at black and white like they do here in the United States. They don't even identify as being black. Mm. So that's just the way it is.
Yes. Human beings. What do you say to that, Irondale?
Irondale, how many pistols are you going to take out?
Don't worry about
like
it.
He loads up on something. It does sound like he's stocking something up. Say,
yeah, how many?
I got a bullet with Johnny's name on it.
How many pistols you loading out there, Irondale?
You'll find out when I meet you face to face, both of y'all.
I'm running.
Well, good.
You well,
got
how you
20
been doing,
minutes
Irondale, other than that?
Considering I'm doing good. I've been doing a lot of working out, you know, with helping with stress and grieving and stuff like that. But, you know, I'm doing good, man. I looking forward to my birthday next month. And don't know what I'm going to do. I'll probably stay around here. I know a couple of times in the last several years, one time I went to this place called Durham, North Carolina, to meet this knucklehead called Vincent E. Brown.
Hey, I've heard of that place.
And, yeah, I'm quite sure you have. And then I went somewhere else, but I think I'm going to stick around here. And, you know, I might go 50 miles away and do something, you know. And then I don't know if my kids are going to be down here or not. But I probably won't see my daughters no more until Thanksgiving, Christmas. One or the other, I'll go up there. I'm not going to be running up and down the road. Sometimes I like to move, and sometimes I just don't like to go. But
I'm
doing good. I appreciate you asking, though. You know.
Well, you know, and I'm sure you know how to do it. If you travel someplace, just pull off and get to your room and chill for a while. That's just how you travel. I like to drive myself.
Yeah, well, I do too. And I know one time I was on my way out of town and got stuck in traffic. I say, forget it. I'm losing a lot of time in this traffic. I'm just going to go ahead and get a hotel room, and I just get up early the next morning and finish the trip, which I did. And, you know, it was a good time because it's about halfway, but I was planning on driving about 3 or 4 more hours. So I don't know. The thing with me is, even if it's the next day, get there in one piece. And just letting you know, I just bought some AK-47s, and I'm loading them up. Yes, I am.
Yeah. You ain't got to worry about
now,
me. I'm leaving.
Now, Beyonce, you're going to get the AK, and this is going to get the 47. That's all I'm going to say.
Well, no, he's going to split it up between both of us.
Yeah. By the way, I got a friend that lives in Florissant, Missouri,
Yeah.
They said it was real bad up there, flooding too, and people still, you know, displaced, you know, clothes, and they just lost everything.
Florissant, Missouri has become the number seven elite community in America for blacks, because during the riots, and they allowed blacks to move out from where they were and move there rather than go across the river.
Right.
But it's always something, man. I tell you, it's always something. You accumulate, then you lose.
Mm-hmm. That's
nature
life.
Nature has no respect for skin color.
Yep.
Right.
And
you're absolutely correct.
That's why I do this program, because I'm like, you know, skin color is not it, you know. Yeah, we had a time where people did judge us by our skin color and stuff like that, but that time is not today. And I was talking to a friend the other day.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was talking to a friend the other day, and he was talking about what was he talking about? My goodness, I lost my train of thought. But he was saying, oh, the Duke lacrosse case, and he said he had never heard of it. And I'm like, dude, are you under a rock? Everybody heard about the Duke lacrosse case. I said, you remember that Duke lacrosse case that happened here in Durham? Back in 2007, he was like, no, I don't think I said, dude, are you serious? But I told him about what had happened. It was, you know, three white guys from the team. They were accused of raping this girl, and found out that she hadn't been, none of the boys had anything to do with raping that girl. And he said, well, if it had been the other way around, if it had been a bunch of black guys that were accused of raping a white girl, all of them would have gone to jail. And I'm like, you don't know that, though. I mean, and I told him, I said, can you give me a good example of where that has happened? And I'm not talking about in the 60s. I'm talking about here now within the past 20 years. And he said, well, I am giving. He never gave me an example. He couldn't give me an
example.
They
never do.
They never can. They just flap off at the yap, and they say, well, if it was a black person, he would have been dead, you know. And I hear people say that, and I'm like, and I can think of several examples, like the DC snipers. Both of them were brought in without incident. And speaking of like if police officers encountered a white person, Tony Tempa back in 2016. I'm still amazed that people haven't learned about Tony Tempa and Daniel Shavers. These were white guys, you know. But they say if a black person is caught in the same situation as a white person is, the black person is the one that gets killed. And I'm like, give me an example. Because if that's the case, then our prisons wouldn't be overflowing with black people like they are now, you know, because they'd be dead.
They wouldn't be able to make it to prison.
You know.
When white females report a rape, 30% of the reports indicate a black attacker.
Yeah.
That's disproportionate.
And a white person raping a black person today, that's almost unheard of. I don't think, I can't remember the last time a white person raped a black woman. that's just unheard of. I mean, big time. You know, it was common back in the civil rights era, but today, you don't hear about it.
Man, this mighty Mississippi, boy, when it say get the heck out of the way, it means it, I tell you.
Oh, yeah, the Mississippi River.
Yeah, it tells you that I'm coming, get out the way. You know, funny thing about it, St. Louis is only about 500 feet above sea level.
Yeah.
According to the last time I checked. I think if you had a tidal wave, of course, it would dissipate before it got to St. Louis coming across the ocean. But heck, that would... If you was on top of that damn tidal wave, you should be able to see all the way to St. Louis.
Yeah. Yep.
Then if you go further north, like Detroit and that, you got the Great Lakes to contend with.
Yeah.
We up on a mountain, and we still ain't safe from Irondale.
Yeah.
You got to go there with me, don't you? You know what? I don't feel like going nowhere, but you know what? I'm going to book me a flight. And I'm not going to tell you. And what I'm going to do, I'm going to make a clone of myself. Cause I'm going to get rid of both of y'all at the same time.
Iredale lives in black country down in Florida.
And it'll be the perfect crime because they will not be able to find me on planet Earth. And Vincent, by the way, since you're going to be dead already, I'm not going to come by and pick you up on the rocket ship. But I will come back and pick your wife up, okay?
Hey, you know what I was going to ask you, Vincent? Do your wife have tribal marks on her face?
No. Mm-mm, no.
Okay, I didn't think she used because she's from Liberia. But yeah. You know you talk about skin color. Well, that there was a determinant amongst those particular societies that they mark their children with tribal marks.
Yeah, and they have some type of tribal distinction, but I don't think they have the tribal marks.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, society that was Christianized or influenced, well, that was one of the things that they was taught out of is doing that to their kids.
Yeah.
Now, people like the Ashanti up in Ghana, they still put the tribal marks on the kids' face.
Yeah. Yeah, they certainly do. Yep.
And if that's what those people want to do, that's their daggone business.
Yeah, yeah. And shoot, I ain't got no problem with it, you know, just as long as it doesn't infringe on the rights of somebody else, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, look, do your thing, you know. But the thing about Liberia, a lot of people don't realize is that of course we know that Liberia was formed as it's the only the only colonized or something country in I forget what they say, but it was designated as an area for the freed slaves to recolonize that. And
yeah, send them back, repatriate.
Yeah, repatriate it. And but here's the ironic thing though, a lot of those who were repatriated in Liberia, they made slaves out of the indigenous people who were already living there.
Mm-hmm.
And I said now that's kind of ironic, you know.
Well, with the homicide case, when that guy went back, what's his name? I can't think of it. Chinko or something like that. He remember the homicide case that was held in court. And I think Alexander Hamilton was a lawyer representing. Well, heck, when he went back, that's when the slaves commanded the ship and took it over and was trying to go back
homicide.
Go back to Sierra Leone. Homicide, yes. But anyway, he went back and he started in the trade business itself. The slave trade business.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
They show you bits and pieces of history to get you to think a certain way, but they don't realize that the same people that they're trying to prop up and whatever, they were involved in it too, you know?
Yeah. It still all gets down to human beings. If you look at the Himalayas, and I like really looking at those documentaries. I've never been there. Of course, the elevation that you're at is, you know, like 10,000 feet above sea level. Those people in the Himalayas over there in a section of China and India, they are black skinned, what you would call black.
Yeah. Hair. Yeah. That was interesting too. They look like, Chinese people that have been out in the sun too long.
That's right.
How about Mongolian?
They are too. Mongolian. They stay up in them high areas. Well, they don't have the atmosphere to protect them from the sun rays. The atmosphere is denser. Dense. So, they call it dense altitude. Higher altitude, the air is less dense. Lower altitude, the air is more dense. So it's high density altitude. So there's a lot of things that go into the formula. But when it's all said and done, human beings are human beings.
Yeah.
And that's the way it is.
Yeah.
Them blacks that tried to... Go ahead.
We're all prone to disrespecting one another. We're all prone to treating each other in an inferior manner. It doesn't matter what you are, black, white, whatever, you know. So we really can't point the finger at somebody else and say you're responsible for this or you're responsible for this and everything, you know. And that's what sickens me, because I'm like, you know, you all are pointing the finger at somebody and you're accusing them of something, but here you are doing the very same thing. Oh, mm-hmm. But it's different. It's different. No, it's not different. It's the same thing, you know, so.
It's human beings, man. But look, you about ready to check out of this show. You got about 3 minutes left.
Yeah.
And always a pleasure to be able to come in and share information of things I found thought was noteworthy.
And character assassination, which you did to me.
Well,
you should have beat them off the show. He sat there and carronaded me, man.
I
didn't say I'm bad, Vincent. That's all right.
Well, I recognize that voice, that's for sure.
Yeah,
that's the voice that told me that. I was
shaking, you know what? But you're going to be terrified when you see my face.
I was
Vincent,
shaking.
Vincent, tell them about how I can look sometime. Just tell them how I can look, Vincent.
Oh, yeah, you got them laser beam looks. Yeah,
your eyes are like a burning torch. I know all about you. That's what I've seen that night.
I'm glad you said that. I'm gonna call my whole name on your chest, man.
Uh-oh.
Just with my eyes. And Vincent, don't be laughing. I'm gonna call my name on you too.
Uh-oh.
And he's from Boston, so you know he's gonna cut.
Because you are guilty by association, all right?
Oh, okay.
And after y'all treated me this like this, I might not come on your show next week since y'all are so disrespectful. But that's all right. I still love y'all anyway.
Well, don't stay away, because we that way we can talk comfortably, because we know where you are.
Yeah.
Vincent thinks he know where I'm at, but he don't know where I'm at. Because
mm-hmm.
I didn't change my location because I don't trust Vincent no more. In fact, I don't trust you no more either, man.
I ain't done nothing.
Yes, you have.
You
are guilty by association.
You're just an innocent black man from St. Louis, Missouri.
I'm just here on the phone. I didn't know what I was getting into.
You know what? I'm gonna tell my friend in St. Louis to come tell you about yourself. Okay.
Oh yeah. All right.
But anyway,
see you guys.
Okay.
All right. Have a good week.
Thank you. But be careful.
All right now.
All right.
And Well, folks, that's the end of the show. And I know we got a little lighthearted there. That's okay. You know, just a bunch of friends enjoying themselves and whatever. Next week, I should have another edition of Black Bicolor Only, you know. And anybody you think want to listen to this show, just invite them on. I'll be glad to have them. And you all enjoy yourselves. Have a good Saturday. This is Vincent E. Brown. I am signing off. And until the next time, I'll see you on the rebound. Enjoy your Saturday.